morning, brothers and sisters. Before the talk commences, I have two announcements. One is that this coming Sunday, there will be a Mahasangikatana, 8 monks led by our Chief Reverend Dhammaratana. This is in conjunction with the Chinese Hungry Ghost Festival for dedication of merits to our departed relatives. So all of you are encouraged to come and participate in this event. At least it's something that is more meaningful and I would say effective in benefiting our departed relatives. That is in the morning, the Sangikatana. Please be here at 10:30. You may bring your food or you wish to contribute towards the fa'an, to buy, arrange for the center to arrange and purchase all this food for offering to the Sangha. And on the same day, Sunday at 3:30 p.m., there will be an annual blessing service for students who are taking public examinations. So if you've got children attending this, who will be attending this examinations, bring them over, you know, so that they may get the blessings from the Reverend, and also this will instill in them self-confidence. So please remember this coming Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, that is for the Sangikatana, there will be 8 monks. Then later at 3:30 p.m. sharp will be annual blessings for the students. Alright? And tonight's talk is the urgency in cultivation. We as Buddhists, we have often attended Dhamma talk and listened to monks stressing the urgency in the practice to at least realize the first stage. Then we would have acquired a passport, all right? So, but I guess most of us is still, you know, not convinced enough in the sense that if we are convinced that it is urgent for us to cultivate, I think our lifestyle is likely to be changed. And as we know, we learn and talk about the impermanence in this world. So tonight, Brother Teo will come and share with us so that our sense of urgency perhaps may be aroused or enhanced. Okay, so as usual, we'll just take refuge of the precept before Brother Teo takes over. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo
Thank you.
gratitude. Please proceed.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rete, for the kind introduction. Then also I rejoice with all the puja, pre-puja that you all have developed and cultivated. Puja is also one of the very important devotional practice that Sakyamuni Buddha has recommended. So if you understand all of this constitute cultivation, it is to help you develop the spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, which are the five spiritual faculties. When you develop this, you can understand spiritual teachings. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. And these are the things that you need in order for you to have the meditative mind. When the spiritual faculty is developed, the hindrance, the opposite five mental hindrance that hinders living beings' mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness or inner awareness, they will cease to be. So this is before the talk, just to share something so that you may develop the understanding of it. Spiritual faculties are very important. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight's topic I received from Brother Gan. He sent me two topics actually. Then at first I say, good, go ahead. Then he asked me which one, first or second. I say both. I can't remember the second topic, but it's something related to cultivation. The first one, he said, understanding the urgency of cultivation, which is our main topic. Then he also put in the word diligence, which is quite relevant. When you understand the urgency, you will bring forth the diligence. Maybe I just write it down so that it can serve as a pointer to you all so that you can understand this topic better. So within the title, he has this word, diligence. I think most of us understand this word, diligence. When you have this virya, spiritual zeal, to drive you to cultivate earnestly, sincerely, then you have diligence. The other word that is often used is you have to develop patient understanding to persevere. So to develop the cultivation, the practice, actually three things are required. Not only diligence. Diligence is only one of them. The other two that you may need is faith, which is the first spiritual faculty, Sadha. Then second one is sincerity. If you are sincere in seeking the truth, in seeking this cultivation through an understanding, then faith, sincerity, and diligence will bring forth the way. So these are the three most important. But the second topic he gave me is something to do with attitude and another one. What was it? But again, oh, patience, yes. So attitude. Sorry. And patient. So this one, especially attitude, is more towards modern language. You must have right attitude when you want to be successful in certain thing. That's why you say that your attitude is very important. It molds and shapes you. If you are heedless, your attitude is you couldn't be bothered or you are not serious. Then you become heedless. But the moment you understand the importance, then this one gives rise to the appropriate right attitude to cultivate the urgency to walk this path, to develop this understanding. So today's topic, I believe, is very important for all Buddhists to develop the understanding. Why is it you have to develop urgency to cultivate this Buddha Dharma, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? Can I have a few answers? What is your understanding? Do you see the need to do this cultivation? You see the need. Is there any urgency? Oh, yes, also. Oh, very good. Well, then, very good. Brother Danny, time is short. So they always say, life may be very uncertain, but death is a certainty. Then it can happen anytime. Don't assume you still have time. Because anything can happen. That day we just received a rather shocking news from Sui An. They got one SJPA member. Is it ex-co member? Where is Brother Sui An? Active member. I was told quite young, 65. Then Mimi told me she was with him to one of the Xinjiang trip, recent trip only, a few months ago. I see he was really healthy and looking good. All of a sudden, he just had a heart attack, cardiac arrest. Such a healthy person with... he will go gassing every weekend or want to walk, jog, then play golf. Quite an active person who look after his health, and yet it can just happen. Then my school in Kedah, secondary school, we got one classmate also. I forgot his name already. It's a Malay classmate. He is one of the most healthy colleagues around. He used to swim 50 laps, Olympic pool, no problem. Almost regularly. Then he very active in sport. Such a healthy person can just pass away at the age of 40 plus. That's why, like Brother Danny said, life can be very short. So the urgency is, if you don't make use of whatever opportunity and condition you have, and you always procrastinate, you know what is procrastinate? Give reason for yourself. I heard a lot of people tell me, "Brother Teo, now I still got to work, no time. Wait till I retire, I go full time." That is the standard answer I receive a lot. I say, wish you luck. Some people never get to retire because they always say, I cannot retire yet. I cannot afford to retire. Then some worse, can afford to retire, but cannot retire, need to work. Because without a job or without the 9-to-5, don't know what to do, cannot pass. Don't know how to use that time. Life become like miserable. Like nothing to do. And many people tell me the first 2 months of their retirement life is like hell. For the first time they experience such what they call that type of life that they never expect to happen. At first they thought, retire, can take a rest, sleep late, no need to wake up so early. But then after 1 or 2 days, then they realize there are something else. Because not in the office, not used to it, that time, they don't know how to use, don't know how to pass time. So make phone call to friend also, they are working, or they don't have time for you. Whereas when you are working in the office hour, you receive a lot of phone call, a lot of invitation, then you got a lot of activity, then 9 to 5 pass very fast. Because this one I heard from one engineer who came and asked me for a job appointment. He was retired JKR, very senior. I think easily 10 years my senior. Then I was with a consultant. Then somebody in JKR, because we got this JKR job, the JKR people tell me, they say, Mr. Teo, you want to hire resident engineer for this job? We got one that we would strongly recommend. Oh, the retired one. Because he still got to support one children studying in Australia. Then when he received my phone call, he was so excited, he came to me. He told me, Mr. Teo, is it? I really need this job. I said, why? He said, for the last 2 months, it's like hell to me. I don't know what to do with my time. Is it? Then with my pension, I only receive half pay. Is it? That time, half pay, quite a lot of money. You know? That was 15 years ago, I think. 15, 16 years ago. He received 2009 as pension. Huh? So to fund the children's education is not easy. Then the worst thing is he doesn't know how to pass time. Because he don't have game and all those things. Then last time when he was in the JKR, I was told because he made some mistake earlier on, he got a very bad remark from one of the bosses during the early years. And he was like cold storage for most of his career. And he never get promoted on. So that was the sad story that goes. So even you talk about retirement, you have to be very clear about what you try to mean. Because too many people, you do not understand how your mind functions. You procrastinate, you justify. Then most people have this habitual tendency or attitude. They will never become serious until they are afflicted, severely afflicted. So it's your life, your choice. You want to wait till that moment, then only you decide to be diligent, or you start to see the urgency, then you regret. When I young, I should have gone all out. Because now at this age, a lot of things has changed physically. Especially your physical form is no longer like before. Then at this age, you try to strive on with heedfulness, not to say you cannot, just like the advice of the Buddha before his parinibbana. What did he told the monk? Strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadeta. So that shows the urgency, because to the Buddha it's very clear. If you don't strive on your heedfulness and train your mind to develop this heedfulness, so that as per Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, and the heedless are as if dead. So if you have been heedless for so long, if you still don't see the danger of heedlessness, then nobody can help you. Because it's your life, your choice. You choose to live deludedly with a heedless mind. Then Dhammapada verse 1 become very clear. You will act, speak and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then most of the time suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof. So life becomes miserable. Life becomes very, very difficult to endure. All this is because living beings who are deluded or who don't have the understanding, they don't see the urgency in this cultivation. Because this teaching, the Buddha's Buddha Dharma, the essence of his teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, is like the secret of life. When you understand this teaching, you will understand the secret of life, then you will know how to live. And when you live with this understanding, that type of life is so different from the one that is deluded and heedless, who don't understand this teaching. The one that don't understand this teaching, they encounter a lot of life reality. And when they encounter them, when they confront them, because they don't understand, suffering will follow. Their life will be full of suffering, misery, sorrow and lamentation, full of fear, worry, anxiety. A lot of things, when it doesn't go their way, there is a lot of reality that can bring forth the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow and the lamentation. All these are affliction, suffering, misery. So without Dhamma, without this understanding, the first noble truth that the Buddha proclaimed can become very traumatic and very real. And this is the reason why you have to constantly reflect on this teaching. If I am born a human being, given the opportunity to understand this teaching, and yet I allow it to slip by, of course that is your choice. But you ask yourself this question. This window, which is very rare, because we are still within the sasana, and the sasana lasts only for about 5,000 years, and we are almost halfway plus. And 5,000 years, in terms of universal time, is like a split moment within that continuum of time. We are talking about billions and billions of years, the age of this planet, the age of this universe. And yet, this sasana is only 5,000 years. So if you miss this window, you may have to wait a very long time. Like all those Mahayana Sutta, you read the opening verse, they will tell you very clearly that this Dhamma that you are going to study or cultivate, they are the teaching of Sammasambuddha, and they are very rare. And you miss this window, it may take you hundreds of millions of eons. Not only eons, one eon, but hundreds of millions of eons before you can encounter them. So that shows to you the urgency behind all this. The other aspect about this urgency of cultivation is, like I used to tell Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends, it is concerning our entire existence. You understand that word, eh? Existence. Not only this life, no. This existence. This is only one of the segments, small. But all of your future existence, you have to come, or you choose to come, or whatever manner it may have to arise. If you don't have this understanding, every life you come, you are going to have a lot of suffering. You have to confront a lot of this reality. And without understanding, without the Buddha Dhamma, without the wisdom, suffering will follow. That is the first noble truth reality. So the Buddha proclaimed this first noble truth reality of dukkha. He said in this universe, there are eight conditions that all living beings, regardless of who you are, if you live long enough, you need to confront them. These are the realities of life and existence. And when you confront them, without wisdom and understanding, as taught by the Buddha, through the understanding of His Four Noble Truths, you will be afflicted, they say. Suffering will follow you. So, the first noble truth talk about the prevalence of suffering, the reality of life and existence, the eight conditions that can afflict living beings and bring about tremendous suffering. So this is the point that I want to re-emphasize. That's why during the Buddha's time, he also encouraged the monk in many ways to cultivate this urgency of cultivation. Of course, one of them is Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23 that remind you not to be heedless. Otherwise, the heedless are as if dead spiritually, you got no chance. Then before he passed away, Parinibbana, again he reminded the monks, strive on with heedfulness, do not be heedless, otherwise you suffer. Then in between, he constantly remind the monk to reflect and contemplate on death. You heard of Marana Nusati? Marana Nusati? You know what is that? What is Marana Nusati? Huh? You all haven't heard of this word. Contemplation on death. How do you contemplate on death? Because you look around you, whatever that is born into this world will have to die. Yes or not? Wherever there is birth, there is death. And everyone that you know that has been born into this world finally die. So when you understand this reality, you ask yourself, this form of mind, karmically conditioned form of mind, which many living beings who are deluded believe that it is what you are. So if you cling, attach, and hold on to this form of mind, you will have self-delusion, sakkayaditti, and you will have a lot of suffering. Because the Buddha said, the moment you have self-delusion, sakkayaditti, you will have craving, grasping, clinging. And when you grasp and cling to this fine aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha said, that is what suffering is all about. Upadana khandas, dukkha. If you don't believe the Buddha, you can go and check. When you reflect on this marana nusati, it will give you a sense of urgency. Before this form and mind can perform its duty to fulfill the cultivation so that your mind can liberate and you can awaken to develop this understanding so that you can live life with understanding so that life can become meaningful, beautiful. If you can have this understanding, you will reap the fruit of your hard work. You will get to live the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, the life of an enlightened being, the life of someone who has already developed the wisdom, no longer deluded by what the phenomenal world of consciousness. The one that will no longer be afflicted by whatever happened to the world or to their own form of mind or their loved one. They will be able to live life beautifully, confront life beautifully with great understanding. And such a being is called an enlightened being, noble being. So if you see the importance of this, if you want to have a life that is heedful, that is meaningful, so that you can understand life clearly and get to live life to the fullest, so that you can experience and get to live this type of life that is so wonderful and so beautiful, then you get to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to worry about life anymore. You just live and you can become beautiful. So all this summarized to you on the urgency of cultivation. So now that you have this understanding, we should move on to the next step. After you know the agency, what must you do? Yeah? You must act upon it, isn't it? Otherwise, got no meaning, isn't it? That's why Dhamma, which is the Buddha's teaching, there are three phases of Dhamma. First phase is what? What are the three phases of Dhamma? Just now I spoke about the third phase there. First phase is what? Those who know the Pali. Pariyatti. What is this? What is Pariyatti? Learning of the teaching or doctrine. Sorry. Learning of the teaching or doctrine. So this phase one is very important. You have to cultivate this. How do you proceed? Like just now you all mentioned, you understand the need and the urgency to cultivate. So now we go on. How do we cultivate? First phase of Dhamma is to cultivate the understanding of the teaching, means the learning of the doctrine or the teaching. How can you do it? You do it through what? Listening to Dhamma. Yeah? So this one is first turning. First turning of the Four Noble Truths. So that you can develop Suttamaya Panya. Panya. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta or the teaching of the Buddha, discourse of the Buddha. So this one, hearing or listening to Dhamma is only one of the initial step. After you listen to the Dhamma, what must you do? No. Before the practice. You have to understand it. So after you listen, you have to understand it. So what do? You go for the second turning. Which one? You have to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into this teaching so that you develop chinta, maya, panya. Wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught, or all of the truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. This second turning is very important. If you don't do this, you can never progress. Like in school, the teacher say, if you don't pay attention in the class, what happened? Here go in, here go out. Understand? Then nothing gets filtered because you are not listening, you are not attentive, you are not serious. There is no urgency to understand, to cultivate. When you see the urgency, you will develop the faith, the saddha. Faith is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. And this faith is the first of the five spiritual faculties, and you have to have this. When you understand how special a being the Buddha is, and when you understand how wonderful a teaching that he has taught or proclaimed and give free to the world, you will have a lot of respect and gratitude towards him. Because he is the Sammasambuddha. Means what? He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in enlightenment. So such a being is very rare. And because he is the fully enlightened one, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born at that time. And his nine great virtues, he is even teacher of man and God. He can train any being. He is a guide without comparison. And he is the knower of the world. That's why all these great quality makes him a very, very unique being. And to have such a great being as your teacher, you should count your blessing. You should have a lot of gratitude and respect towards him and his teaching. And that should drive you on diligently to arise the second spiritual faculty of Virya, to cultivate his teaching. Because if you can understand his teaching and liberate your mind, you can become an enlightened being. And you don't have to go through suffering anymore. You don't have to worry about life anymore. Every moment, every instant when you live your life, you are so beautiful. There is deep understanding in you. You are very noble in your understanding of life. And you have a very different mind. The mind that is always heedful, aware, quiet, still, peaceful, tranquil, and full of joy, pity, and full of the enlightenment factor. That awareness within is always with you. That paucity leading to upeka, the enlightenment factor of paucity, samadhi, and upeka. They are always there. And sati is already very stable. That's why the third spiritual faculty also established. So cultivation is about developing this understanding to see the importance of the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculties. These spiritual faculties will allow you to understand spiritual teaching with great clarity. And it will also help you to overcome the five mental hindrance. Because these are the ones that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So the Buddha has already made this very clear in his essential Dhamma teaching. The reason why living beings are not able to have the calm meditative mind that is heedful and aware is because of this mental hindrance. It hinders them. So the Buddha in his teaching said, this hindrance, even in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, after I will read to you if you have time. The first category of Dhamma that you have to develop mindfulness on is the mindfulness of the five hindrance, the mental hindrance. So that you understand how the unarisen hindrance come to be and how it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then if you continue to silence, then you can trace the origination factor. Then you can retrospectively reverse it through an understanding. And that's how you break free. Then later on, as you develop the understanding of the hindrance, you will come to understand the second opposite five mental faculties, which the Buddha called the spiritual faculty, pancha indriyas. The Buddha said you don't have to fight the hindrance. You don't have to control, suppress the hindrance. You only need to see them, understand them. Understand how they arise. Then through understanding, retrospectively reverse it. Then you will come to know how the arisen hindrance ceases to be. And through that understanding, you realize for the hindrance to cease, the spiritual faculty must be there. And then you put to test what the Buddha said. You have to cultivate this opposite five spiritual faculty. And then you check the pair. When the five spiritual faculties are there, one by one, the hindrance disappear. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, you don't cultivate with the understanding, you can never break free. Because you can never understand all this. Yeah. So spiritual faculty are very important, and they can be developed through your devotional practice, which is puja, and also your contemplative second turning practice. That's why you got all the 10 nusati. You got Buddha Nusati, You got Dhamma Nusati, Sangha Nusati. Then you got Marana Nusati. Then there are many other Nusati, Anusati, which is contemplation. You can even carry out the 5 daily contemplation that the Buddha recommend and all things. So after you have developed this understanding, then you focus your cultivation on the 5 spiritual faculty. And of the 5 spiritual faculty, the first 2, Saddha, Virya, are very easy. Then you are left with only the 3rd spiritual faculty to work on, which is Sati, mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot be heedful. Because to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. Ever mindful is the first part. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Within Noble Eightfold Path, you have the 4 foundations of mindfulness. That's why the Buddha said, the 4 foundations of mindfulness is very important. He said, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being. Because if you fulfill the 4 foundations of mindfulness cultivation, you will have fulfilled the cultivation of the 4 Noble Truths and its returning. That's why it's complete. Yeah. So this understanding will lead you back to the first phase of Dhamma. After you have learned the teaching, understand, then you have to put it into practice and cultivate. And that will lead us to the second phase of Dhamma. So second phase of Dhamma is Pati what? Huh? Pati? Pati, yeah? Not go Pati and Pati. Yeah? So this one is putting the teaching into practice. Into cultivation in daily life. In daily life. This one is very important, daily life. Just now, the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, I didn't finish all, I missed out one part. So this one, Suttamaya Panya is like you say, during the Buddha's time, you only hear, understand not, because there is no word, no writing, no book, no recording, nothing. You have to listen. That's why it's called Suttamaya Panya. You listen to the sutta or the discourse as proclaimed by the Buddha, that you can have the condition to understand and awaken. There is a type of wisdom which the Buddha calls Suttamaya Panya, born of the first turning wisdom, like Kondanya, he awakened. Then if that one is not powerful enough, you have to go to the second turning. Second turning, you have to reflect, contemplate, and inquire, why did the Buddha say this? Then how can I understand all this? Yeah. And when you reflect and contemplate on what you have heard, now we are more lucky, Our civilization more advanced. You have writing, you have recording, you even have video. But if you are not making use of this technological advancement, then you miss out. So now you can actually just listen to recording or read the transcript, the book. All these are part and parcel of the first turning wisdom, the first phase of Dhamma, learning of the teaching, doctrine. So when you read, listen to Dhamma, then after that you reflect, contemplate, then you develop this ability to stabilize what you have heard and what you have read. Then slowly assimilate it, understand? And then you develop a deeper understanding, which is Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of constant Dhamma contemplation or Dhamma investigation, which is the second enlightenment factor. When you have developed Sati, you can do Dhamma Vichaya. Yeah. That's why you do a lot of reflection, contemplation, and investigation. This is second turning wisdom. So when you can stabilize all this understanding through reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, then you slowly assimilate them in. Then you prepare yourself to receive truth. Once the first and second turning wisdom is already there, when you move to the second phase of Dhamma, Patipatti, when you put this teaching that you have developed the understanding into practice, this becomes the third turning. What is the third turning? Wisdom born of bhavana. Bhavana maya panya. So this one is wisdom born of the meditative training. And this is the most important. When it prepares the base for you to receive truth under the first phase, then when you come to the third turning, any time, any condition, you can just awaken. Yeah. So this is a very important understanding, the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. But under the phase two, Patipatti, you can actually cultivate all the three turning. These two can also come down. But when you do it under Patipatti, it becomes very different because it's like in a more refined state, a more deep state that you are cultivating it. So this cultivating is putting it into practice, walking the path of Dhamma so that the Dhamma become a part of you. Phase one, the danger is you study a lot of theory. You got a lot of theory, but you never put to practice. You never leave that Dhamma. You talk a lot. Let go lah, don't attach, lead to suffering. But when it comes to yourself, the evil roots are still there. You still attach, you still got fear, you still got all those things. So you cannot leave it. So the danger is this becomes knowledge based. The Dhamma has not become a living reality. You cannot understand clearly. So when you are trapped in that phase one, the danger is you become complacent. You say, I understood the teaching. The Four Noble Truths, you can rattle from the text, you can even chant, but you cannot apply. Cannot apply is like you got money, you cannot use. Your money all put in the bank. When you pass away, what happened? 人在天堂,钱在天堂. Your money is in heaven, 天堂. It's a pun. Your money is still in the bank. So, got money cannot use because you are very stingy. You don't know how to use for the welfare of all, to help yourself, your loved one, and for the good of many. So, learning Dhamma, theoretically, knowledge-wise, and not able to apply, is like you think you have money, you think you have the Dhamma, but you cannot apply. It's as good as you don't have them. Maybe all of them are in IOU note. Oh, nowadays, a lot of IOU. Issue you paper, you go and buy the paper. Then after that, wait for don't know how long. Now they got U.S. Treasury 30-year bond. You buy already, 30 years later they pay you. And I was told now they want to come out with 100-year bond. Japan, their interest rate very low. I also want to borrow, you got 100-year bond. So sure no need to pay. We got already 60+. So borrow another 100 years or so. Not my problem anymore. But if you have the Dhamma, you don't do that. But human being different. No? Wow. Got chance to borrow, you better borrow as much as you can. Because there are different people who got different, what they call, views and opinion about economy and other things. So they make very funny decisions. So this part, I hope you understand. First turning leading to second turning. First phase of Dhamma leading the second phase of Dhamma. So when you put this teaching into practice, the first thing you have to do is you have to change yourself, transform yourself. Otherwise, it cannot be a living reality. So how do you change yourself? How do you transform yourself? What must you do? The Buddha said, after you listen to the Dhamma, what must you do? It's also within one of the 10 meritorious actions. What must you do after you listen to the Dhamma? You must? Rejoice is correct, one of the things, but the more important one. You must straighten your Why all the teaching you study before but you don't know how to apply? Every time wait for me to share with you or tell you. You have to maybe use another color, otherwise you cannot see. Make sure you do this. You have to straighten your view. If you don't straighten your view, means what? You will continue to be heedless, correct or not? You never progress. But the moment you straighten your view, you start to develop understanding. Then you realize, before, suffering arises because of delusion. Self-delusion, foolishness, ignorance. You deludedly grasp, cling and hold to so many things which you believe is permanent, can be owned, can be possessed, which you believe is what you are. That's why self-delusion, sakkāyādhiti. Then when you grasp and cling and hold on to this fiery form and my thinking is you, suffering will arise because the first noble truth, reality, will hit you. Through delusion, you will suffer. The first noble truth, final summary, the Buddha proclaimed it very clearly. In short, he said, it is due to our self-delusion, that condition of our grasping and clinging onto this five aggregate of form and mind, nama-rupa, upadana-kandas, the grasping aggregate that I call suffering. So this understanding is very important. If you don't straighten your view, you can never cultivate the understanding of his teaching. So straightening of one's view is very important. When you straighten your view, you develop more right view, right understanding. That is the first path factor of Noble Eightfold Path. And when you have right view, means what? You have less delusion, correct or not? Less ignorance, correct or not? Less avijja. Then the dependent origination, paticca samuppada, the first two links is what? Avijja paccaya. So when you have less avijja, what happened to this link? Yeah? So the first link is avijja paccaya sankara. Means dependent on ignorance, activity of mind arise, thinking arise. So when avijja is weakened, when you attenuate this one, when you weaken this one, what happened? What will happen to sankhara? When this one is weakened, you don't think so much, isn't it? Avijja paccaya sankhara weaken. That's how your mind have more clarity, more heedfulness. You become more mindful. There are a lot of things, no need to think already. No need to worry already. No need to be deluded by it anymore. No need to grasp, no need to hold. Because all those things condition your wrong view, condition your wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your insecurity, and your unhappiness, your like and dislike and all these things. These are all wrong thoughts. So when you see them, you straighten your view because due to wrong view, you react. And all those things happen because of your evil root, the five mental hindrance. where you keep on creating duality, light and dislike, pleasant and pleasant, sense experience, sensual desire, ill will, the first two hindrances. That's why the hindrances of mind are so powerful within the living beings, within Putujana, the unenlightened being, the worldly being, the worldly ones. When you start to see this, you determine not to be heedless anymore, because the heedless are as if dead, the Buddha said, spiritually dead. So if you are serious about life, you see the urgency in developing this understanding and this cultivation, you will go full-time, develop this understanding. And you will continuously straighten your view. And to do that, you have to develop the cultivation of the second turning, especially, and the third turning, which is the four foundation of mindfulness. Yeah. So now I will spend a bit of time reading to you one of the sections. This book is going to come out soon. Yeah. Hopefully by the end of this month we finish. Then first week of September we get it out. This is based on a talk in Wu Ping Ching Sir. This was the final chapter of the Satipatthana Sutta that I delivered there. So we call it the final summary of the Satipatthana Sutta. I summarize all of the understanding that you need regarding the cultivation of these four foundations. And there are a lot of important understanding and message inside here. Yeah. When I read to you, then you will understand whether you really understood what the four foundations of mindfulness are not, and whether what you cultivate is according to your own old school of understanding or not. Yeah. So now you listen. Eh? I will move straight away to Dhammanupassana. Eh? Dhammanupassana is the fourth foundation. And within the four foundations of mindfulness, there are four foundations. First foundation is Kayanupassana, followed by Vedanupassana, then Chittanupassana, and Dhammanupassana. And the most important one is the last foundation, which is the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana. And within Dhammanupassana, there are five categories of practices. The first one I have already explained, mindfulness of the five hindrances. Then the second one is what? Mindfulness of what? Huh? Five? No. Second one is mindfulness of five aggregate of form and mind. You must know who you are, what you are. Mindfulness of the five hindrances followed by five aggregates of form and mind. Then after that is the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. But what we are interested in is in the fourth category of practice. Fourth foundation, fourth category of practice, double four. Mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. Yeah. When I read to you this one, hopefully you understand where you go wrong. Because this is the most important, very, very basic understanding of the Buddha's teaching. So I read to you, Dhammanupassana, fourth category of practice, mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. The next category of cultivation within Dhammanupassana is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. When you have straightened your view, understood the meditation and the cultivation, these seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising and you will be able to be mindful of them. Can you all follow? At that time, I asked that question. If you cannot follow, I will write it down, because this will summarize to you the whole of the Satipatthana Sutta practices that you need to understand so that you can cultivate them with understanding. The reason being, this Satipatthana Sutta is very profound and very few people in this world can truly understand what this teaching is, not to say cultivate it. If you can't even understand what it is, how are you going to cultivate? Afterwards, I give you the example that you understand. Then I don't know whether you will laugh or you will cry. If you cannot understand, then how can you put it into practice? If you yourself have not realized or cultivated it, then how can you share and teach people? is impossible. That's why this teaching is very unique, very valuable, and it is indeed very rare to come across such a teaching. Here, I follow that book. There's another book on Satipatthana. It's a sutta book. Now we turn to page 48. We have the photostatic item 4. Mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, or in Pali, is called mindfulness of Satta Bhujanga. Satta is seven. Bhujanga are the enlightenment factor. The Buddha said, "And further, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu lives contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the seven factors of enlightenment." You listen. How, O bhikkhu, does a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the seven factors of enlightenment? Actually, that book used mental, what they call object. It's not mental object, it's Dhamma. Very clearly, Dhamma. But they translate as mental object. So to me, don't use that word. It confuses you more and make you more deluded. Now you have to pay attention to the next sentence that follow. This part is the most important. Here, O bhikkhu, when the enlightenment factor of sati or mindfulness is present, a bhikkhu understand or is aware that I have this enlightenment factor of sati or mindfulness. Or when the enlightenment factor of sati or mindfulness is absent, he understands or he's aware. What does this mean? Since you are already vipassana practitioner for so long, what does this instruction mean? Very simple, isn't it? When the sati enlightenment factor is there, you're aware. When it's not there, you're also aware. Simple or not? But do you know the deep meaning or not? Anybody want to try? What is the deep meaning behind the Buddha's message? You understand this, you penetrate the cultivation. And you will know how to cultivate. And you will progress very fast. Anybody want to try? That one is one part, but more important one, another part. Follow this instruction exactly. When you are not aware, means what? When the factor of enlightenment or sati is not there, means what? You are already heedless. And how many of you cultivate for foundation of mindfulness throughout the day, you heedless, you are not aware. And you say you vipassana meditator, vipassana practitioner. But you are not even aware of your lack of awareness. When the factors of enlightenment or sati is absent, you must be aware. That is the real cultivation. If you are not even aware that you are heedless, without this factor of enlightenment or sati, and yet you say you cultivate four foundations of mindfulness, you have to ask yourself. That's why I ask you, after you understand, whether you will cry or laugh. I read on, you will understand. So this is very important. When you are no longer mindful, no longer heedful, you must be aware. Do you understand? Can you follow this? Are you doing this? That is more important. Throughout the day, whenever you are not mindful, you have to be aware that you are heedless. And what did the Buddha say under Dhammapada verse 21? The heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. And you say you see the urgency. And yet you don't want to determine to be heedful. And the Buddha everywhere in the sutta point towards the importance of heedfulness. Tell you clearly, strive on with heedfulness. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And this thing like never ring a bell in you. Because you never understood what that message. You just listen to Dhamma. Oh, Dhammapada verse 21, I heard before. Brother T also got a lot of notes inside there. But you never understood. You never really put it into cultivation. So this part is the most important. What does this mean? You must be aware. Now I explain to you. That's why when this book come out, no need to remember, read and understand it. It will help you a lot. You are already heedless, lost in thought, preoccupied with your emotion, your anger, your fear, your heedlessness, your conditioning. And you are most of the time with the mundane mind, hitting out at people, arguing with people, quarreling with people. That's real heedlessness. If you can't even be aware of that, then how are you going to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness? Especially the first foundation. Without sati, you cannot start, understand? The four foundation of mindfulness is about mindfulness, understand? Without mindfulness, which is the first factor of enlightenment, you cannot start. And you are not even aware that that sati is not there. That's why you have been heedless for so long. And you find it so difficult to practice sati, because you go and practice, that's why you can never find. Who is practicing sati? Who is trying to be mindful? The thought. When thought is active, you are never mindful. Mindfulness is silent without thought. That's why it's the silent, choiceless observation of the reality of what is. I always tell your awareness before the knowing. When you are just silent, you are automatically aware. Without thought, when you are not lost in thought, chattering or judging and reacting and doing all those funny things, when you are silent, you are already aware. Why must you practice to be aware? Why must you try to be aware? Because you think a lot. You are so conditioned and so habitual. The hindrances are so severe and so heavy. You have not really developed spiritual faculty. You have the Dhamma words, but you never put it into practice. The puja, you never reflect on who the Buddha is and what he's teaching, and awaken to the understanding so that your faith, the sadhaviriya, drives you, so that you will pay respect mindfully, walk and cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. Means training your mind to be aware with anapanasati or mind sweeping method. Then after that, stabilize it through anchoring it to your kaya, the four posture. Then the daily mindfulness. This is how you start and move. But hardly anybody understand all this. So I read on. The first factor of enlightenment is sati. The main intention of you coming here to meditate is to train your mind to have sati, and then to stabilize it. If you can't even be mindful in your daily life, it means you are not serious about meditation. You have been heedless. You never really have the resolve to be mindful. If you can't be mindful in the midst of life, then you are heedless. And the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. Now you understand, right? Yeah? Can follow, right? This is what living being is doing, you know. And if you are like that, how can you cultivate? Then I read on. Oh, this one is a very strange part that happened on that day. That 3-hour session, I tell you, was fantastic. A lot of things happened. I put here, you heard the bird chirping or not? It is as if this Dhamma bird also understand that it is very dangerous to be heedless. Because I was stressing on heedfulness. And they chip like anything, no, for so long. No. Then I say, see, the chipping of the bird is so loud. I don't know whether the recording can also record the chipping sound of the bird or not. Then somebody say, cannot. I say, but the voice is so sharp. Hopefully it can. If bird also can understand, and living being cannot understand, then we really do have a problem. Correct or not? And later on, you go and listen to the recording. It was so loud, you know, recorded. And chipping for so long. Then not only that, after that, there's another part, lucky best. I hope I got time. The seventh factor of enlightenment, you have to be ever mindful of them. Especially so after you have cultivated to a certain extent with understanding. And you will have a lot of joy, and you will know whether you have progressed or not. If the first factor of enlightenment also not there, Then if the factors of enlightenment are totally not there, then can I ask you one very simple question? Have you progressed? Huh? You can have the fantastic meditation, no? I can see light, I can develop jhana, I got what jnana. But first factor enlightenment or sati also not there. Then the other enlightenment factor, maybe piti is there. That's the only one. That's why you have to check. Have you progressed? Why are you all so quiet that day when I asked them? If you don't even have any factor of enlightenment, then how do you expect to be enlightened? Do you understand? If you are on the right path, I can tell you, based on this sutta, like I described in the initial part of the sharing, the seven factors of enlightenment, they will keep on arising. If you cannot witness any of this arising, and you think you are enlightened, good luck to you. Then you go and check what type of enlightenment is that. The factors of enlightenment are the factor that can make you enlightened. And the enlightened being abide in these seven factors of enlightenment. That's why cultivation is pretty easy to confirm if you have the right practice or not. If the factors of enlightenment are not there, you better wake up and cultivate sincerely. If you have sati, which is the first factor of enlightenment, at least it is the beginning, understand not? If sati also don't have, then how can you start the cultivation? After having developed sati, you still have to stabilize it. Without sati, how can one move on to cultivate the second factor of enlightenment? What is the second factor of enlightenment? Dhamma vichaya, yes. Investigation of Dhamma, very good. Without sati, how can one investigate the Dhamma? How to put to practice all of the Dhammapada verse, all of the teaching, all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught? It's impossible. So the cultivation is very simple. When you understand, but when you don't understand, it's not that easy. Sati is most important, and you must develop it, because it is also one of the five spiritual faculties. To be heedful, you must be mindful. You must have sati. To be mindful, you must also have sati. To cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, you must also have sati. Without sati, you are heedless, and the heedless are as if dead. All these point towards the importance of developing sati. If everything also you need sati, and yet you didn't see the importance of it, or this rather clear message of the Buddha, then are you going to progress? The Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. This is Dhammapada verse 21, and it also confirms the danger of heedlessness. That's why if you don't train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, to be heedful, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you have no chance. You don't stand a chance. You can go for meditation retreat for 18 years. I can tell you. Also no use. If in the midst of daily life, you are not heedful and you are not mindful, you can never penetrate the real Dhamma. The teaching is so simple, yet you make it so difficult. Because if you don't have sati and you don't understand, you can be wasting your time cultivating thought-based meditation, leading to knowledge and not through Dhamma. So this first part, can you all understand? Then there's a lot more. Okay, maybe I skip this. I read through quickly. Here, O Bhikkhu, when the enlightenment factor or sati or mindfulness is present, a bhikkhu understand I have this enlightenment factor or sati or mindfulness. Or when the enlightenment factor or sati or mindfulness is absent, he understand I have not the enlightenment factor or mindfulness. That means the monk who is aware understand when he is heedless, no longer mindful, and no longer heedful. Similarly, he is also aware when he is heedful. You must have this understanding. at any point in time, understand when you cultivate. If you cannot check like that, you cannot cultivate. You are not doing for foundation of mindfulness. You are heedlessly lost in thought, doing all your habitual thing. Yeah. Then as he understand how the arising of the non-arisen factor of enlightenment or sati comes to be, and he will also understand how the by completion of, by culture of the arisen enlightenment factors of mindfulness come to be. Do you see the important pointer as expressed by this sentence? If you cannot even understand how sati come about and how the unarisen sati comes to be, then how are you going to develop it? Understand that? You have to understand how you develop sati and how it comes to be. Otherwise, there is no way. You cannot try your luck now. Hopefully, one day, no, then I become mindful. You go and hope. That hope can be very long. Satipatthana say maximum 7 years. You can hope for 7 lives, yet you are still around doing the same thing because you use thought. That's why I say it's like swimming. Don't try to know when you cultivate, like bowing. Just do the bowing, body and mind as one, until the daily mindfulness and attentiveness of the bodily movement arise. Then you will understand what sati is. Just like you do until you know how to swim. Then you will understand what swimming is. Because when you know how to swim without the float, you will know what swimming is. But before that, you are struggling. Sati also same. You cultivate until sati arise, the form and mind will know. That's why you have to have sincerity, faith, diligence. Develop the spiritual faculty. Then train your mind. Follow four foundations of mindfulness. Ever mindful. Anapanasati, then four posture, then daily mindfulness. Sati is the same. If you do until sati is part of you, then you will understand what sati is and how sati come to be. It is training your mind to be with the moment without thought. Anchor it to your kaya. That's why kaya nupasana is very important. Your kaya is always within the moment. If you are mindful of it without thought, then you have sati. Then you use it to anchor the mind which is no longer heedlessly wandering off, thinking or lost in thought, doing all the funny things. That is why the untrained mind is heedless. The Buddha did mention, the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. Do you know what is a devil? A devil is a very evil being. If the evil being is inside your mind, and your mind is like a workshop for the evil being to do all the funny things, then what will happen to you? See, it's as serious as that. Whereas the trained mind is so different. It is so peaceful, so beautiful, so still, so silent, and it listens to you. It has got no idea, no thought, no view, no opinion. It's just silent, peaceful, and fully aware of the reality and the inner nature. All this sankhara creation, they are from the thought. Your views, your opinion of what things should be or should not be, they are all sankhara. And sankhara being anicchang or impermanent, they come and they go. Then why do you still grasp, cling and give meaning to them? Why with every moment of perception, the phenomenal world is like so real to you? And you can get yourself entangled and so engrossed in all these things that you come to perceive. Why do you hold on so tenaciously to your views and opinion until you become so rigid, so incapable of understanding? This is what the mind is all about. If you train it, it will become beautiful. If you don't train it, it will become heedless. So this is what cultivation is all about. Without mindfulness, you cannot move, you cannot start. Because mindfulness is the first factor of enlightenment. So like the Buddha's advice, strive on with heedfulness. That's why first factor enlightenment, get it right, stabilize it. I had already explained without mindfulness, you cannot be heedful. The heedless are as if dead. Without mindfulness, there can be no investigation of Dhamma, which means the second factor enlightenment also not there. Without mindfulness, you cannot cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot be aware of your mental intention, the defilement, the three evil roots, the five hindrances. Then you cannot understand who you are and what you are. That's why mindfulness is the most important. And my teacher, the Thai monk Prajan Yantra, used to tell me, without mindfulness, you are very poor. He always said, you can be very wealthy materialistically. But without mindfulness, you are very poor spiritually. All your wealth, your reputation, your status can never buy you wisdom and can never help you when you confront the First Noble Truth realities of life and existence. All these are very powerful dhammas. When you understand them, they become so beautiful. When you don't understand, you become so heedless. Then I will read on. When the factors of enlightenment of the investigation of Dhamma is present, he understands. And this constant reflection, contemplation, and investigation of Dhamma has to go on during your cultivation. Then only you can have clear understanding of the truth. Then when you are really with the factors of enlightenment, you keep on understanding. And this Dhamma investigation will strengthen your faith until unshakable. Because when you put to test all the essential Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha, when they stand up to investigation, you got so much joy, so much pity. Then your faith becomes unshakable. Then you know this is the truth. This is what Buddha Dhamma is all about. It's so wonderful. It can liberate this mind. It can bring about such great transformation from heedlessness to heedfulness. And the mind can be so different. This is what the whole cultivation is all about. I will skip the rest. I have to stop because 10 o'clock already. So with this, I will end my sharing. Hopefully not too long, this book come out. Make sure you understand what is being spoken. If put into writing, transcript, and so clearly written out, you somehow don't want to develop the diligence to understand or urgency to understand. I don't know what to do with you, your life. You decide what you want to do. Because this come about because of special condition. I explained it in the introduction. I don't have time to read to you. The introduction, later on, I will share in one of the Thursday class. I think that day I share in the, I forgot which class, I share a little bit. Which class was it? Thursday. Oh, Thursday I didn't get to start this. I finished Krishnamurti. Then I told you when this one start, next Thursday. Then Tuesday class also I supposed to read this one. But the Diamond Sutta was too interesting. We got no time for this also. So all these are the conditions for all this Dhamma to come out. And all this was spoken in that 2-3 hour of sharing. Without any notes and any preparation. But the bird helped me. The thunder helped me. Because that day, don't know what happened. A lot of things happened. The chipping can be for so long and so loud. Especially when I keep on repeating heedfulness and all those things. I say, bird also understand the importance of heedfulness. If living being don't understand, really got problem. Then later on, the thunder. No one to stop one for so long. Then towards the end, when we want to meditate, immediately all the rain stop, thunder also all stop. Then that nature within there, that 15 minutes, the stillness just come. And everybody meditated so well. So, I don't know what happened. Because nature is like that. Understand? So when there is condition for thing to happen, to arise, it will arise. And that day in the talk, I also warned them, make sure this is recorded. If not, meant to be. Gone means gone. I cannot repeat all this. Understand? Then somebody check. It's recorded. Then she wants to make adjustment. I say, don't touch. Luckily didn't touch. That's why we got the whole recording. Otherwise, this transcript cannot come about. You all should thank Sister Ingbi. Sadhu. She's not here. Immediately after the talk, she put up her hand. But can I volunteer to transcript this talk? I say, yes, go ahead. I rejoice, Sadhu. Meant to be. That session, that moment, I already knew meant to be, and this book will come out. Yeah. And when she sent me the draft, wow, I was full of joy, because she did it so well. No? She put all the what recording time against the transcript. So very easy for me to check. No? Oh, 2 hour, 3 hour, or 1.5 hour, or 20 minutes, I just go there, where I can move my computer. Then I can listen. No? Or then I can check whether she transcribed correctly or not. There was some adjustment, but overall it was very good. She did very well. That's why I rejoice. Then you all should thank her and rejoice. Otherwise, this type of teaching and Dhamma, I tell you, you cannot find how to cultivate everything explained so clearly. Then together with J. Krishnamurti, you go and listen to your Thursday talk. It teaches you how to cultivate daily mindfulness and awareness. That one also very important. Okay, so now I will officially stop my talk and open up for Q&A if you all have anything. Okay. Brother Gan. Oh, Brother T. Yeah, you take over. No question is all understood. Very good. So the title is very appropriate. Urgency of Cultivation. How come got two same one? I drink one and I thought water. Same one. Both also same one. Oh, this one is too heatful. Double. I thought one was plain water, that's why I looking for plain water. Then I open up, how come same one?
Yes, any question?
So far, can understand and follow what was shared or not? I hope you all can see the importance of cultivation. Then develop the agency, strive on with heedfulness, do not be heedless. Don't always say, hey, brother, you say, wait for this book. Oh, then you wait and wait and wait, the book never comes. When the book is printed, they never call you to come and collect one. You have to attend the class to collect one. If you are lazy to even attend the class, difficult, unless your Dhamma friends really have a kind heart for you. As I saw them ask me, well, can I take a few more? I say, you can. But make sure the person wants it. Understand? Otherwise, no point. You force him to read, no use. Don't even try to encourage them to read. If there is no condition, let things be. If they see the important, they will come and collect themselves. Understand? So don't be too eager to actually share all this, because this one need condition. If they are not ready, not serious, you give them also they cannot understand. They will just throw somewhere. And sometimes, it through heedlessness, they simply comment and say things. Sorry, I didn't do anything. My nature also didn't do anything. But because of the lack of tactfulness and understanding, and when you cannot understand certain teaching or certain sharing, you make your own comment based on your limited understanding and knowledge, coming obstruction can arise. So be very careful. So our love and compassion, that's why I say, don't simply give to people unless they really look for it, they really want it. Then it's different. Even though it's for free distribution, donated by Kayanamita Fund, so you all can rejoice. You will get to perform this wholesomeness. Kayanamita Fund will be the only one allowed to pay for the printing of this transcript note. So this is what we will do. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Any question? Otherwise, we can end early. We are tomorrow. I got to take an early flight to Singapore. Any question? All understood. No question. Very good.
Sadhu, Brother Teo, your compassion to come down here and share your Dhamma knowledge with us. So we'd like to extend to you a token of appreciation.
Okay. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Chua, come. Or you want to? I offer to you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because she offered me, he offered me transport, he and Sister Mimi. Yeah, sadhu, 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 yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is a good way of offering. The center offer, then I offer, then go back to center. That's why emptiness. No gain, no loss. Bùchén, bùchén. But what has happened has created tremendous wholesomeness. You can understand the understanding of zero emptiness. Nothing has changed, but the action born of understanding has evolved tremendous wholesomeness and blessings and even merits. Because when you rejoice sadhu, that is a meritorious action, that is wholesomeness. And when you give with understanding and joy, that is a lot of wholesomeness. And they give on behalf of the center. That's why it benefits a lot. Then through this offering, it was offered back to the person who gave me transport and some Kayanamita transport. Then they offer back to the center. Again, a lot of wholesomeness. So to cultivate the advice of the Buddha to develop wholesome action is very simple. You must only have, you only need to have understanding and sincerity, generosity, and faith. Then all this become possible. And when you attend Dhamma session, you got a lot of opportunity to do wholesomeness. That's why Mangala Sutta, don't know how many blessings, I forgot already. There are a lot of blessings inside there. 38. You know how to do. All these constitute blessings. Then the 10 meritorious action. Then all of the wholesome state of mind. This is how you cultivate. Avoid all evil. Do good. Purify your mind. And the whole of cultivation is not that difficult. Okay. Yeah. So we do. Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu, sadhu.
So we do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit. Then we end. So I thank you because no question, I can go back early. My flight tomorrow very early, 6 something, so I had to wake up about 5:15. So together we recall to mind all the wholesomeness. Then we develop the spiritual faculty of Sadha Virya. Then mindfully, attentively, we shall together share this merit and transfer this merit to the devas, then to all beings. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Brothers and sisters, before you go back, please help yourself to some refreshments outside. And also, please be reminded that on Sunday, 10:30, there will be Sangika Dana, and 3:30 p.m., there will be a blessing for school children.